great things coming from the least among us. Jews are simply forbidden to doubt one another. Al tihi baz lekol adam. Do not write anyone off, because there is no one who does not have his hour, no one who will not achieve his hour of true greatness. Since the moment we emerged as a nation in Mitzrayim, men have despised us, surprised us with the outrageous claim that nothing good could come from the Jews. Contrary to popular opinion, contrary to those who have written us off, our finest hour is yet to come. Even now, we are witnessing a dramatic reversal of our wholesale abandonment of Torah life prior to the Holocaust. Jews are now rebuilding centers of Torah life and learning on a massive scale. This return of a generation to its Torah roots coincides with the increasing strength of Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. For a generation, the Israeli standard of living has dwarfed the third world lifestyle of hundreds of millions of Muslims stretching from Africa across the Middle East to Asia. Israeli military research, development, and deployment is unmatched by any combination of forces the Arabs might amass against us. All of these advantages are sustaining the tiny Jewish state through troubled times. For centuries and millennia, we have been scorned and ridiculed, but our finest hour is yet to come. Anyone who pays attention to the laning of Megillus Esther knows how easily the whole world can be instantly flipped on its head in the service of the Jews. When our enemies believe they have pushed us to the cliff's edge, a hair's breadth removed from a fall into oblivion, a Yeshua comes. They are doomed, and we've resumed our journey. Our future is a necessary precondition for creation in itself to endure. The Torah, God's blueprint for creation, identifies man's origin, life task, and destiny. Through the Jews, this message filters down to mankind. Without the Jews to carry the message of man's purpose and being, creation has no justification whatsoever and immediately returns to Saihu Vivaihu, void and emptiness. The necessity of a future for the Jews is more than an article of faith. It is a law of nature. We fall and we rise. We are consumed in fire only to rise again from our own ashes. The Torah instructs us to purify ourselves from Tumah, from the spiritual impurity born of coming into contact with the dead. Only the ashes of the Para Aduma can purify us from Tumas Meis, the spiritual impurity engendered by our coming into contact with the dead. After the red heifer is burned, the Torah requires one to gather up Afer, its ash. But then, strangely, the Torah continues by saying that we should take Me'afar Srefas Hagchata, from the dirt of the burnt red heifer, and mix it with the Mayim Chaim, living waters, water from a spring. Why does the Torah suddenly refer to the ash of the burnt red heifer as dirt, instructing us to mix the dirt, or afar, of the burnt red heifer into Mayim Chaim? Reb Moshe Shapiro Shlita answers this kasha with a beautiful teretz. An essential characteristic of ash is that it has a past, but no future. In the smoldering ruins of the Beis HaMikdash, set aflame by the Romans, only ash remained. Ash, with a rich past, but bereft of a future. Or so it surely seemed to its Roman destroyers. How easily one lacking Emunah Shalema, pure faith, my gaze through the blurred vision of deep sorrow at that field of ash and lose hope in the future. Auschwitz certainly created a great illusion of life's bitter finality. Ash has a past, but no future. Dirt represents the flip side of this coin. Dirt has no traceable past, but possesses a promising future. From dirt, flowers sprout. From dirt, a garden grows. From dirt, Gan Eden can come forth. For this reason, Hashem called the first man Adam, because he was created from the Adama, from the earth. From the earth, so full of potential to bring forth great things. So too, every man is born so full of potential to bring forth great things. Every man has his hour, achieves his moment of true greatness. Dirt has no traceable past, but a promising future. Ash has a past, but no trace of a future. The Torah, therefore, calls ash from the burnt red heifer dirt when it gets mixed into living waters, implying that the ash which comes to purify may appear bereft of a future, but in truth has a promising future, as if it were garden variety dirt. And like the ash, our future is also assured, despite any allusion to the contrary arising from our touching and from our being touched by death. Jews do not despair of life. We alone are commanded to purify ourselves from contact with the dead through means which reinforce our faith in a future not even death can destroy. This itself is the essential message of Sefer Shemais, the Book of Exodus, as the Ramban suggests in his classic Hakdama. The journey charted by our forebearers in Sefer Shemais is our own journey leading us, here and now, back to the place of our avos. At the end of Parshas Pekudei, we dwell again in the presence of Hashem, like our fathers before us, and the circle is closed. Out of our descent into the deepest depths of impurity in Mitzrayim, in our darkest hour of exile in Egypt, we rise through tshuva to the highest summit of the soul. We become like the avos, the merkava of Hashem. All of Hashem's hopes for this world ride on us, until there is no doubt left on earth that our hour has come at last, the moment in which our true greatness is revealed. Perhaps I might bring this point home with a story. We've all encountered Mendel, who wanders the streets of Flatbush, often wrapped in a plastic tablecloth beneath his coat, approaching people and asking, "Can you give me a ride in your car?" I was recently driving out of my driveway with my 10-year-old daughter in the front seat to my side and her two classmates in the back seat. From the back, I heard one girl say to another that she heard Mendel is Eliyahu HaNavi in disguise. Her friend replied, "I heard he's Mashiach in disguise." Whoever Mendel really is, there he stood, asking my 18-year-old son, just back from Jerusalem for Pesach, "Can I have a ride in your car?" Chaim said, "Sure." Mendel gets into the front seat on the passenger side. Chaim asks him where he wants to go. Mendel says, "Rabbi Landau's shul." When they pull up to the shul, Mendel asks Chaim to see if anyone is selling Connecticut lottery tickets. Apparently there was a $90 million payout waiting to be won. Chaim reports back, "Nobody's selling lottery tickets." Then Mendel asks Chaim if he can drive him to Shomrei Shabbos in Borough Park. When they arrive, Mendel asks Chaim to see if anyone's selling lottery tickets. He reports back, "I'm afraid I couldn't find anyone." Mendel then hands Chaim a few dollars, but Chaim shakes his head and says, no, you don't have to pay me." Mendel replies, "Give the money to tzedakah." Chaim shakes his head and says, no, I'll give a few dollars to tzedakah for you." Mendel replies, Chacham, then it will be your mitzvah, not my mitzvah. Al tehi baz lekol adam. It is forbidden to write anyone off, because there is no one who does not have his hour, no one who will not achieve his hour of true greatness in this world. And for anyone not content to settle for an hour of true greatness in this world, for anyone seeking a lifetime of true greatness, it is yours for the asking. We cannot measure or estimate the spiritual net worth of a Jew who adheres to a fixed Seder in learning every day and night, a Jew who treasures every free moment he can find to learn more. He will become great in this world and great in the next. He personally hastens the hour of our final redemption. His hour has come, and our hour has come closer because he lives among us. In this chus, may we see the final redemption. B'mehera v'yameinu, amen.